Thank you for tuning in to Blue Jays versus Them. I'm your host, Jerry Schwinard. Let's talk Blue Jays baseball. First, let me take care of some housekeeping. I want to thank you for your continued support and helping me bring awareness to the podcast. Last week, I mentioned getting downloads from Buzzsprout in 4 different countries. Breaking it down further by city, 28 cities in all, I'm not going to go through all 28, just some notables. Obvious and the most frequent are Toronto with 21% of the downloads and Brampton with 19%. A little surprising is Montreal and Barrie, although it shouldn't be since I have family in both cities, with 6% of the downloads. 5% of the downloads came from Edmonton, Alberta and Hastings, East Sussex. Also in the UK is Coventry with 1% along with Katy, Texas. That's K-A-T-Y. I'm not sure if that's Katy or Catty. Just outside of Houston. So, thank you all very much. Now, let's talk Blue Jays baseball. The Jays return home from a 3-4 road trip to face the Los Angeles Dodgers. I predicted that the Jays would prevail, winning 2 of the 3 games. Well, that's certainly not what happened. Chris Bassitt didn't make it out of the 3rd inning. Throwing 77 pitches in 2 2/3, he was charged with 7 runs on 9 hits, including 2 home runs. 5 bullpen pitchers and 1 position player were used to close out the remaining 6 1/3 innings. The Dodgers smacked around the Blue Jays for 12 runs on 19 total hits. Toronto's offense could only muster 2 runs on 5 hits. They did draw 4 walks. Not the best way to open a homestand. Oh, the position player that pitched an inning? IKF came in to pitch the 9th. He did give up 1 run, throwing 11 pitches. Yusei Kikuchi picked 6 innings in the 2nd game of the series. He allowed 4 runs on 9 hits. Unfortunately, once again, Toronto's offense was relatively silent. Going 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position, they could only score 2 runs on 4 hits and 3 walks. The Blue Jays dropped the 2nd game 4-2, finding themselves on a 5-game losing streak. Kevin Gausman had his best outing of the season. He pitched 7 complete innings, only allowing 1 run on a Freddie Freeman home run in the 6th. Toronto's offense managed to score more than 2 runs for the first time since winning the first game in Kansas City. Dalton Varsho scored Justin Turner on a groundout in the 2nd. IKF followed, scoring Schneider also on a groundout. Alejandro Kirk hit his first home run of the season, giving the Jays a 3rd run in the 2nd inning. Toronto avoids the sweep, winning 3-1. Toronto closed out their 6-game homestand with 3 games against the Kansas City Royals. Yuriel Rodriguez got the start, going 3 2/3 innings. He threw 82 pitches, giving up 3 runs on 6 hits and 3 walks. Justin Turner provided the bulk of the offense, driving in 3 RBIs on 2 consecutive home runs. It was Danny Jensen giveaway night, and Jano delivered his 2nd home run of the season. The team managed to score 6 runs, which is the most runs they've scored since April 6th, when they lost 9-8 in New York. On the other hand, they went 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position. The Blue Jays hung on to win 6-5. Jose Berríos took the mound for the middle game, allowing 2 runs on 5 hits over his 7 innings of work. The 2-run homer in the 2nd inning would be all the offense the Royals would need. They tacked on 2 more runs in the 8th to give them a 4-1 lead. The Blue Jays' offense was once again stymied. Scoring only 1 run on 4 hits, they drew 3 walks and struck out 11 times. Bo Bichette had the team's only RBI on a single, driving in Kiner Falefa. The Royals even up the 3-game series, winning 4-1, securing the season series. Even though Chris Bassitt had a much better outing than his last start, going 6 innings, he was still charged with giving up 3 runs on 4 hits and a walk. That was enough to be tagged for the loss, as Toronto's anemic offense could only score 1 run on 4 hits. Is 0-for-3 better or worse than 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position? Toronto dropped their 3rd consecutive series, losing 2 of the 3 games to the Royals. The Blue Jays will head to Washington for a 3-game series starting Friday. Upcoming promotional nights and 50-50 draw prizes. The Jays return home on May 10th versus the Twins. On Friday, May 10th, is Cricket Night at the ballpark. The first 15,000 fans will receive a white Blue Jays cricket hat. Mother's Day, May 12th, is also Junior Jays Sunday. Friday, May 17th, is Country Night and Chris Bassitt Hound on the Mound bobblehead giveaway for the first 15,000 fans. Junior Jays Sunday, May 19th. Monday, May 20th, the first 15,000 fans will receive a Jordan Romano blue replica jersey. Looney Dog Tuesdays, May 21st. Wednesday, May 22nd, is Yusei Kikuchi bobblehead for the first 15,000 fans. Friday, May 31st, the team will debut their City Connect jerseys. Fans 18 and older can purchase tickets for Blue Jays Care 50-50 draw. online at bluejays.com/5050 anywhere in Ontario and also in Nova Scotia. Prizes include Sunday, May 5th, there will be five $1,000 cash prizes drawn every half hour from 2:30 to 4:30. There will be three draws for one pair of Blueprint Club premium tickets. Draws will be held May 6th for June 14th game versus the Guardians, May 7th for a game versus the Phillies on September 3rd, and May 9th for the June 27th game against the Yankees. Sunday, May 12th, we'll have five draws for $1,000 cash prize every half hour between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. As always, I'll leave a link for Jays Care 5050 in the description so you can find the winning numbers and prizes. Last week, I mentioned our struggling stars and the lack of offense. I suggested shaking up the batting order, moving our star players down in the order, and bringing up the more consistent hitters to the top. The batting order hasn't been set for the first game in Washington, but I'm willing to bet, other than switching out some of the bench players, the batting order will be pretty much the same as it has been all season. Currently, the Blue Jays are two games below 500, sitting in fourth place in the East. Production-wise, they're tied with Seattle for the fourth least run scored with 111 runs. The only teams worse are the Cardinals with 109 runs, the Athletics with 98 runs, and the White Sox with 89. Even the Rays, who are in fifth place in the AL East, have more runs scored with 120. With one of the better pitching staffs and better defenses, you'd think they would be among the leaders in fewest runs allowed, wouldn't you? Nope. Allowing 142 runs, they are tied with the Chicago Cubs for the 8th most runs allowed. The Giants and the Diamondbacks are next with 144 runs allowed. Houston has allowed 158 runs to score, while Tampa Bay and San Diego have allowed 163 runs. The Angels have allowed 6 more runs than them. The White Sox have allowed the third most runs with 173. Rounding out the bottom two are the Marlins and the Rockies, with 179 and 192 runs allowed. Part of our struggles has been with the back end of our starting rotation. Although Gausman's looking more like the 2023 version, he did struggle to start the season. Our fifth starting position has been a problem, and now that Uriel Rodriguez has been placed on the 15-day IL, as well as Bowden Francis, they both had inconsistent outings. Although the latter might be coming off the IL in time for a bullpen day, but I don't think he'll be stretched out for a start. Rodriguez could come off the IL a week after that. Of course, you could go once or twice with a four-man rotation, with the day off yesterday. Monday will be a day off as well as next Thursday. After that, the team plays 19 games in 20 days. Eventually, the team will have to make a decision as to whether or not to call up Alek Manoah from Buffalo. His last start did look promising, much better than his previous one. I'd like to see at least one more quality start, preferably two, before he's considered to be called up. Then, what do you do with Rodriguez? Do you send him down to Buffalo or put him in the bullpen to get MLB experience? If Manoah is to be your fifth starter, I'd move Rodriguez to the bullpen for experience and long relief. Interleague play began in 1997. Teams play three games against their divisional counterparts. There are certain geographic rivals, or what they call natural rivals, the Mets and the Yankees, the Cubs and the White Sox, and the Angels and Dodgers. Then there were the state rivals, the Rays and the Marlins, and at the time, the Astros were still in the National League, so they would play their cross-state rival, the Texas Rangers, and the Toronto Blue Jays had the Montreal Expos. The following season, in 1998, MLB expanded the Natural Rivals Series to a home-and-home series. Each team would host the other for two games, and three games each the following season. That continued until 2002 when the league decided to rotate the divisions. For instance, the AL East would play the NL West, and then the following season they would play the NL Central. But regardless of which division you were matched up against, they still kept the Natural Rivals Series each season. The Montreal Expos relocated to Washington in 2005 to become the Nationals. They would remain our natural rival until 2007 season. They would become the rival to the Baltimore Orioles. The Blue Jays were given the Philadelphia Phillies as their natural rival. It's almost poetic that the Blue Jays are heading on the road trip that would see them going to their original natural rival in Washington and then to their current rival in Philadelphia. I wonder if the schedule makers thought of that. Probably not. On Friday, the Blue Jays will begin a weekend series in Washington against the 15 and 16 Nationals. That first game will only be available to watch on Apple TV. You can still listen to it on the Fan 590 or wherever you catch Blue Jays baseball on the radio. Back to the actual series in Washington. I won't go into their history against the Expos. They've been the Nationals for 20 seasons now. Of course, the Blue Jays were 14-10 against the Expos. Just saying. Against the Nats, the Blue Jays are even better with a 13-6 record. We have hosted 9 more games than the Washington Nationals. So what's our record in Washington? Officially? The teams have only played 13 of the 35 games since they moved to Washington. However, two of our home games in 2020 were played in Washington. I'll touch on that in a moment. Of the official away games, the Blue Jays are 6-7 in Washington. If you'll remember, in the COVID-altered season of 2020, the Blue Jays were without a home until Buffalo could be brought up to MLB standards. They played two home games in Washington. Oddly enough, the Blue Jays won both away games, but lost both home games. Last season, the Blue Jays hosted the three-game series, winning two of the three games. The first two starters for Toronto are Kikuchi and Gausman. Sunday's starter for Toronto hasn't been announced yet. The Nats will counter with Patrick Corbin, who's 0-3 with a 6.82 ERA on the season, Jake Irvin, 2-2 with a 4.28 ERA, and Mackenzie Gore, who is 2-3 with a 3.19 ERA. I'm liking the Blue Jays' chances of winning two of the three games this series. After a day off on Monday, the Blue Jays will travel to Philadelphia to face the Phillies, who are currently 21-11. The Phillies will be hosting the Giants for a four-game wraparound weekend series starting Friday. Our overall record against the Phillies is 43-31. For 12 games above 500, Toronto has won 21 of the 37 games played in Philadelphia. The Phillies took 3 of the 4 games last season, and both games in Philadelphia. In 2022, the Jays took 3 of the 4 games, splitting the 2 games in Philly. If the Jays go with a 4-man rotation, that would have Barrios pitching the 3rd game in Washington, leaving Bassett and Kikuchi to pitch the games against the Phillies. If they opt for a bullpen day, that would move everyone back and put Barrios and Bassett to get the starts in Philadelphia. I think we'd be lucky to get a 2-game split, but our offense gives me pause for concern. We're likely to be swept for the 2 games. That should do it for this episode. I look forward to talking Blue Jays baseball with you next week. I hope you'll join me. Once again, I still feel a little bit weird bringing this to your attention, but if you can tap the subscribe button, hit the like button on the social media post, or download the episode from the Buzzsprout website, I'd greatly appreciate it. Once again, I want to thank you for tuning in, and I look forward to talking with you next week. This is Blue Jays vs. Them, and I'm your host, Jerry Schnard. Let's go, Blue Jays! Let's go!